And finally, it's this would be a good thing to think on, is that if you believe that the punishment for sin is to be hideously tortured for all eternity in hell, and you believe that Jesus Christ paid that penalty for you, if you're going to be intellectually honest and consistent, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is in hell right now and will never get out, or he did not take your penalty for your sin. God let him get off with the lesser penalty.
What I'm hearing from the caller is that intellectual honesty requires me to believe that Jesus must still be in hell in torment to pay for our sins. Otherwise, God allowed Jesus to get off with a lesser penalty. I really wish you would have listened closer to my original point. The primary point that I was making throughout all of my response to where was Jesus during his 3 days after crucifixion was that he was not in torment. I made painful efforts to make this clear. But there's an awful lot in this statement from our caller, and I regret to say it is mostly based in a misunderstanding of the nature of God in relation to the nature of sinful man. I need to say that again. This misunderstanding that our caller has here is a misunderstanding of the nature of God in relation to the nature of sinful man, and a misunderstanding about our station or place with the Creator of the universe. But one of the very first thoughts that I have with all of this is how ironic it seems to me that someone would be finding fault with the way the perfect, sinless, and holy God devised in order to save us from our sins. I mean, you have a problem with this grace of God? I am desperate for the grace of God to cover me. How about you? Jesus is perfect and sinless and holy, remember? If the Father is satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus upon that cross of Calvary as a means by which I can avoid eternal separation and enjoy eternal bliss, then I, for one, am not going to point a finger at the Creator of the universe and say that he didn't maintain the integrity of his own holy standards in the process of redeeming fallen man. I think some people are going to have to listen to this track a second time. I'm going to humble my heart and thank him continually. I'll not make the error of accusing the holy God of Israel of being unfair or lacking integrity. If we're going for intellectual integrity, which everybody should, then let's begin with what the Word of God says concerning the nature of man and the nature of the God-man, Jesus Christ. The nature of man is summed up in a verse such as Psalm 51:5, where it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." On the other hand, Isaiah 7:14 tells us about the birth of Jesus. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." That is, God with us. Capital G, God with us. And then there is this passage from 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22 that tells us, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." So let's review. Mortal man is born in sin and iniquity, while Jesus was born of a virgin, not defiled in the otherwise unavoidable automatic sin which is realized when man and women conceive. Romans 3:23 tells us that we as mortals have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, while Jesus, who, by the way, claimed to equally share the glory of God, never sinned according to the Word of God. The point here is clear enough. We deserve eternal punishment in hell for our sinful nature. Jesus did not have a sinful nature. Just as God demanded a perfect lamb or bull, one without spot or blemish, to be sacrificed for atonement of sin in the Old Testament, God required a perfect sinless sacrifice for sinful man in the New Testament era as well. It would have to be nothing less than God in the flesh. Again, that's God with a capital G. Make no mistake. A created being could never have sufficed as a once-and-for-all sacrifice for mankind. No, God is holy and just. There's no need for Jesus to spend eternity in hell in order to atone for our sins. What God required was that His sinless, holy blood be shed. Hebrews 9:22 tells me that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. The eternal separation in hell from God is the result or byproduct of dying in our sins without those sins being atoned for. Eternal punishment in hell is nothing less than the knowledge of and the sensation of the lack of presence of God. But eternal punishment will never atone for our sins. You could be there for a million millennia. It will never atone for your sins. It's only the end result of living apart from God's provision of forgiveness, that eternal punishment. People go about their business on planet Earth each and every day, many even denying the existence of God. And until that moment of physical death, they walk about oblivious to just how much they need the gracious presence of God's Holy Spirit in their lives. He sustains us, He loves us, and He does not desire that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance through Jesus Christ. The choice is ours. We choose to believe that Christ's sacrifice is something that we want in our lives, because you cannot earn it. You can only trust Him, or we choose to reject it. He maintained His integrity in the process of devising a means to atone for our sins. The caller might be wanting to say that it was not God's integrity that he was calling into question, but ours. However, we who accept God is just, perfect, and holy in all that He does, simply take Him at His word. We trust His integrity on the matter. We simply communicate to the world that, as the Bible makes clear, by one man sin entered into the world, and by one man, the God-man Christ Jesus, the penalty for sin was paid. All we need do is trust that when God tells us through His word that the sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient to cover our sins, we trust His integrity on the matter and make that our own integrity.